We're going to start a brand new series, but before we do, I got to tell you what Bubba's been up to lately. Bubba always comes back from a fishing trip with a lot of fish. I mean, he just has buckets of fish every time. The game warden noticed that Bubba just brings back so many fish, and one day he saw Bubba in town bragging about all of his fish, and he said, Bubba, how do you catch so many fish every single time? And Bubba said, well, officer, I'm going fishing again tomorrow. Why don't you just come with me? Game warden said, I'd love to see what your secret is. So they got in the boat, and they went to the fishing spot, and Bubba pulls out a stick of dynamite. He just lights it, throws it in the water. The explosion and all the fish just come to the top, and he starts picking them up, putting them in buckets. And the game warden yells, Bubba, that's against the law. You can't fish like that. Bubba lights another stick of dynamite and hands it to the game warden and says, warden, you talking or you fishing? Sometimes you just got to know your place, you know? All right, I got one more. Earlene, Bubba's wife, gets real bad sick one day. So bad that she says to Bubba, call 911. And the 911 operator answers, and Bubba starts just very quickly telling her what's going on. And she says, well, I'm going to send an ambulance out to your house to pick up Earlene. And she says, and I need your address. And he said, I live on Eucalyptus Lane. And Bubba was not known for being real smart. And the operator said, can you spell that for me? And there was a long pause as Bubba contemplated the word eucalyptus. Finally, Bubba said, how about I drag her over to Oak Street and you pick her up there? Oh, Bubba's my kind of man. Forget the spelling bee. I'll just drag her down the street. It's easier. All right. For the next 4 weeks, the 4 weeks of September, we're going to do a series called My Bible. My Bible. Because when we talk about the Bible, many times we describe it as my Bible. I lost my Bible. Where did I put my Bible? I haven't read my Bible in a little while. And I think that's a positive way to say it. I think that personalizes it and gives us some ownership in it. And we have a drawing to it when we approach it like that. But I want us to look at a few things. And this is not a guilt series, okay? So if you don't know where your Bible is, it's okay. We're not throwing any guilt at you this morning or during any of this during September. I hope, though, that as we look at God's Word for the next 4 weeks, I hope at some point it clicks and you go, you know what? I really ought to read my Bible a little more. I really ought to spend a little more time with my Bible. I'm just going to pull it out every now and then. I'm going to pull it out every day. I'm going to get a plan together. I'm going to read my Bible. Because when we do, some very important things happen in our lives. And so I understand it's easy to pull out the Bible and go, where do I start? What do I do? What does this mean? And how does it relate to that? And who wrote this? And where did that come from? And you approach the Bible the same way you do eating an elephant. We've all heard it. You eat an elephant one bite at a time. You just got to start. You got to get started somewhere just consuming the Word, just reading your Bible. And let God start to work in you, because you're not going to conquer the book. I know people that have been walking with the Lord for 60 or 70 years, and they read their Bible, and I'll hear them say sometimes, I found something I never thought about in the Bible. And what that meant was the Holy Spirit illuminated a brand new passage to them that they had never needed before in their life, or that the Holy Spirit knew was going to be good for them later down the road, but the Holy Spirit just shined a light on it. I was just talking to somebody right before I walked up here, and they handed me this card, and it has some words on it. And I looked at it, and I said, hold on. And I had to move back up to the front row and put my glasses on. Bless the name of Jesus. I hate these things, and I love these things at the same time. The doctor gave me a pair, and she said, you need to wear them all the time. And I said, not a chance. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to go back to Family Dollar, and I'm going to get a $6 pair that I can stomp on and put them back in my pocket, and I'll still feel good about it. Now, look, when I look at this piece of paper, right now, it doesn't mean a whole lot, all right? Now, it's been illuminated. I see it now. I get it now. And that's the same thing that's going to happen with God's Word in your life and mine on a daily basis. You don't have to conquer the Bible. You don't have to figure it all out today. It's just important to get started reading our Bibles. And so I want to answer this question. Why would I read my Bible? Why would I do that? Why would I take time out to read my Bible? Well, we're going to look at the Bible to see why we should read our Bible. I want to point out three scriptures to us about why we would do that, why we would want to read the Bible. Here's the first one, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew and then to the Gentile. Now, the top line says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, the word of God, the good news, because it is the power of God, it's the power of God that brings salvation. This is where we find out about the power of God. This is what changes us, that moves us into being something that we were not before. This is the change that happens in our lives. So I want to ask you this question. Is there anything, you don't even have to raise your hand, is there anything in your life right now that you wish was different? Most of us are like, I don't have time. I just don't even have time. There's a lot of stuff I would like to see change. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. He changes us from the inside out. So I've got to consume God's word for it to work in my life. Now, here's the second scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. That's a powerful little passage of scripture. Now, remember, Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor just starting out, trying to lead people and trying to point them in the right direction. And here's what Paul says to him. All scripture, he's talking about the Bible, all scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Now, let's stop there. He says it's useful to teach us what is true. Man, every day of our lives, countless numbers of people and organizations are trying to convince us of the truth, right? If you open up your news feed today, there's a million people throwing things at you saying, believe this, believe this, believe this. The Bible is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Let me ask you this question. How many of us love being corrected? Don't you just love it when somebody says you did that wrong? Especially if you woke up on the wrong side of the bed that day and you're like, I'll tell you what's wrong. The Bible helps us realize what is wrong in our lives. All right? It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. I hate it when somebody points out that I've done something wrong, but they don't have a suggestion on how to do it right. I'm like, well, don't even say anything. If you don't, can't help me, what are we doing here? You're just telling me I'm a loser with no options. It says right here, it corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. You're wrong, and this is the way you do it right. That's what the Bible says. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. God has something for you to do. And if we don't take in God's word, if we don't read our Bibles, then we never are prepared to do that thing that God has for us. Now, here's the third scripture, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. The word of God is alive and powerful. Now, you need to get the imagery here. It's alive and it's powerful. There's power in the book. Now, not if I just leave it on the shelf. It's still powerful, but I'm not doing anything about it. Watch what he says. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It says it's a sharp instrument. It's a sword. It's a two-edged sword. Now, a two-edged sword is sharp on both sides. That means it cuts going and coming. It's used on purpose as a weapon. See, if you have cancer today and the doctor's going to say, well, we're going to do some surgery and we're going to cut you open and then we're going to get in there and we're going to take the cancer out and then we're going to sew you back up. Now, with that in mind, read the scripture. It's like it's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Watch this. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Most of the time, we're dealing with stuff on a surface level. We don't like to get down to the root of problems. We like to deal with it for right now. God, forgive me for that. I really don't want to do that again. Amen. And then next week, we're like, where did I leave that thing? I want to go back and try that again. It's like my buddy years ago, he was trying to quit smoking, and he was driving to work one morning. He pulled the cigarettes out in a fit of rage. I'm never going to smoke a cigarette again. And he threw the pack of cigarettes out in the grass. He was feeling so good about himself. He went all day, and on his way back to work the next morning, he's out there climbing through the grass, trying to find the pack of cigarettes. Listen, we got to get to the problem. We got to get to the root of the problem. We're going to need some help along the way. God's word is what does that. It exposes the things that are in our life that shouldn't be in our life, and it helps us to know what to do about it, all right? So that's why we should read God's word in a nutshell. Now, what are the benefits of reading God's word? Five things. Now, I'm going to boil it down to five, and you can probably find a lot more. What are the benefits to reading God's word? Why would it benefit me to take time out of my day and read God's word? What's going to happen in my life? Well, the first thing is reading the Bible helps us discover our next step. I talk to a lot of people who are constantly wondering about where to go and what to do from here. Constantly asking, what is God's will? What is God's plan? What do I do next? I don't know where I'm going from here. I feel a little bit lost. That sentiment, we hear that all the time. I've felt that and had to deal with that. Reading the Bible helps us know what our next step is. Most of the time, we don't mean, what is my next step when we ask the question, why am I here, or what do I do next, or what is God's will? We're saying, I want to know 10 years from now, what's going to be happening and what I'm going to be doing in my life. The Bible says that's not the way it is. He's going to give us just enough light for the next step. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Imagine that somebody's walking along with a lamp at night. It just exposes enough ground that they can take one more step. They take one more step and it opens up and it lightens up the next step and then the next step and then the next step. God has never promised you that he's going to tell you what's going on 20 years from now. It'd scare you to death. There are some things that I'm glad I didn't know about 10 years ago, because I might have taken a whole different path. I might have run from this as fast as I could if I had known it. You see, God just wants us to know, what is the next step? How do we find out? We open the book. We read our Bibles. We let it be a light for our feet, a lamp for our feet, a light for our path, and we take one step at a time. I've told this story before, but many years ago, I was praying about it, something big in my life. I was in college, and I was praying, God, please show me what to do. Help me to know what to do. And it was just looming. I mean, I was worried about it all the time. And a gentleman that I don't know his name, he could be sitting here this morning for all I know. He walked up to me, and he said to me, son, what is it you need from God? And I said, I need direction. And he said, you know, sometimes we just have to take one step in the direction we think we're supposed to go, and then God will make sure we know what the next one is. You know what he was saying? It's about faith. It's about trusting God one step at a time. I can't. I will never trust him for my next step if I don't open the book. I'm wanting God to override what he already said. You see, he made some promises. One of them is, your word is going to be a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. That's a promise that we can hang on to. But I got to turn the light on. I got to turn the light on, or it's never going to happen. What if I went to your house this afternoon or tonight and you said, I'd like to watch TV, but the TV's off? And I said, well, the clicker's right here. Why don't you just turn it on? You say, I don't know. I just want to watch TV. I don't really want to use the remote. Everybody in the room would look at each other and go, "Ooh, we need to get him some help. Something's going on." It's the same thing with Scripture. Why don't I know what my next step is? Could it be that I haven't turned on God's Word, that I haven't looked in, that I haven't asked Him what my next step is, prayed about it a little bit? Here's number two. Reading the Bible helps us avoid sin. Reading the Bible helps us avoid sin in our lives. Look at what Psalm 119 says. "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Bible tells us that Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy our lives. That's what he wants to do. He wants to kill everything. He wants to steal everything. He wants to destroy your life and mine, my family, your job, my job, our health, everything about it. He wants to destroy. And one of the tools he uses to do that is sin in our lives. We allow things in. We indulge in things. The Bible even says it this way: there's pleasure in sin for a season. Anybody who tells you that sin is not fun has never sinned. Because it's fun for a little while. I know everybody's real religious right now, but you know what I'm talking about. I know. It's fun for a little bit. There is pleasure in sin for a season. But every season changes. And then we've got to clean up the mess that was made, the killing, stealing, and destroying that happened because of the sin in our lives. Then we got to start cleaning it up. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that sin brings death into our lives. So how am I going to defeat that? How am I going to defeat that? How am I going to overcome that? Well, we're going to start by saying, let me take in my Bible. Let me read my Bible a little bit. Let me give God something to work with. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Sin destroys our lives. Now, the world today would tell you, do what you want to do, act the way you want to act. As long as you're not hurting anybody, you're okay. Well, that's a lie. Because everything that we do that is against God's rule, against God's plan, every sin we commit has consequences in our life. So why wouldn't we turn the light on and say, God, I want to hide your word in my heart so that I don't fall into those traps, so that I know where those traps are, so that I can do this the right way, so that I can handle this the way God wants me to handle this and experience the blessings of God every single day. Here's number three. Reading the Bible builds our faith. Reading the Bible builds our faith on a daily basis. Watch this. Romans 10 says, "So faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ." Faith comes from hearing God's word. Faith comes from hearing God's word. Are you at the end of your rope worrying about your children? Faith comes by hearing the word. I got to open the book if I want to have any faith that God's going to change their hearts and change their lives and get them back on the right path. I have to get God's word in me. I have to trust him. I can tell you from personal experience, I walk my day out with so much more confidence if I have taken time to read my Bible first thing in the morning. Now, I'm not perfect and I don't do it every day. Big confession time. Sometimes I just don't. Sometimes I get up and go, I just want a cup of coffee, and I'm just going to be lazy, and I'm not going to do it. And here's what I've noticed. Those days I walk around doing life, taking care of responsibilities with a lot less confidence than I do on the days when I receive God's word and I read my Bible, because I'm walking in faith, not confidence in me, confidence in him. That's all faith is confidence that God is who he says he is and he will do what he said he would do. Not in me. I have confidence in me. I know who I am. I know I'm going to let me down. I know I'm going to drop the ball. I know that. So I got no confidence in this flesh. But when I take God's word in, it builds my faith, and I have confidence in God that he is who he says he is, and he will do what he said he would do. And if I follow him in that path, I can trust him for those difficult things and in those hard times that otherwise I would just be sitting in the corner feeling sorry for myself, feeling hopeless and helpless. But if I receive God's word, faith starts to lift me up. Because faith is pretty simple. Faith is just trusting God for stuff I can't see or touch. It's not here right now. I can't see it and I can't touch it. If I can see it and touch it, it requires no faith. All right? No faith required. But if it's something bigger than what I can see and touch right here, if it's something out there that I know is not here yet, but I want to see, and I know God is wants to do work in that way, and I can trust him. Faith says, Lord, I trust you in the stuff I can't control. I trust you in the stuff I can't see. I trust you in the stuff I can't touch, and I'm going to walk with you no matter what. God wants you to have peace. Let me stop right here and say this to somebody. God wants you to have peace. If you are worried all the time, it is not God's will. If you are worrying all the time, it is not God's will. Now, we're all going to slip into that from time to time. We're all going to go, oh, man, this is we're going to feel despair. Read the book of Psalms. David was feeling despair quite often. He was on the mountaintop, and then he'd be like, God, where did you go? You left me. And he's crying out there under a tree. So we're all going to feel despair from time to time. But if I'm living there, that's not God's will. God has something much bigger for us. He wants us walking in this faith journey. Amen? Amen. Here's number four. Reading the Bible gives us courage. Gives us courage. Has God placed a dream in our hearts, a direction that he wants us to go, something he wants to do in our lives, but because we don't have any courage, we've sat back and we've let it sort of slip by and wondered why things aren't working the way God wants them to work? Before I read this scripture, I want to tell you who Joshua is. Joshua was second in charge with Moses. Moses was the one, you remember, who received the Ten Commandments on the mountain. And he had a relationship with God. God would tell him to do something. And Moses would go, oh, God, but I got this speech impediment thing. And God would go, I know all your problems. And I still got a plan for you. And I got something for you to do. And he worked all these miracles. He did all these great things. Moses did. And now Moses is gone, and Joshua's left in charge. Now, he's been watching the leader lead, and he's been watching all the people grumble and complain for years that they are leading the Israelites. But now it's his turn to lead. It's his turn to step out there and lead these people into the promised land. Now, watch this. Study this book. Study this book. This book of instruction continually. Find out what the book says. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed. Now, let me back up. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Is there anybody in the room who finds himself not prospering and not succeeding? Then the first question we need to ask is, am I obeying what's in the book? If I'm not obeying what's in the book, I can never expect prosperity and success. Now, we're not talking about prosperity in the sense that God's going to give you $20 million by tomorrow, you know. That great aunt that you didn't know about died and just loved you so much, she left you $20 million. No. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about prospering our souls. Are we filled with joy? Are we filled with contentment? Do we feel love? Do we have patience? Do all those things that make our life worth living, do we have those things in our life? Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. There are those moments when God's going to ask you to do something that is going to take an enormous amount of courage. So he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So God wants to fill us with courage. God wants us to walk in courage every single day. What is it God has planned for you? He wants you to walk in courage. Here's number five. This is the last one. Reading the Bible helps us to be stable and fruitful. God created us to be stable. I'm going to drive that one home just a little bit. God created us to be stable. You ever had those times in your life where you weren't really walking with God and you're one day you're things are terrible, and the next day they're great, and so you the days they're great, you're just telling everybody how good God is. Look what God did for me. And the next day when things are terrible, you're like, God has forsaken me and he doesn't love me anymore. And he just says, he hates me. I've told you this story. A guy one time was in, a friend of mine, he was in trouble for drugs, large amounts of drugs. All right, I'll say that. And he asked me, I don't know why God keeps letting all this bad stuff happen to me. I think there's a bigger thing going on here, buddy. I love you, but we need to talk, all right? He wants us to be stable, and he wants us to produce fruit. Now, how are we going to do that? He wants your life to be fruitful. How do you know if your life is fruitful? Are other people in your life being blessed? You see, the tree that grows the fruit does not eat the fruit. It grows the fruit for others to enjoy. On our kitchen table right now is covered in pears. And they are so delicious. They're like right on the verge of being bad. So they're a little bit mushy. And all you got to do is just walk by there and just juice just runs down your face. It's delicious. The tree that we pulled the pears from will never enjoy a pear. We get to enjoy all the fruit that the pear tree worked so hard to produce. God wants you to be stable, and he wants you to be fruitful. Now watch this, Psalm 1, 2, and 3. But they delight in the law of the Lord. He's talking about righteous people. They delight in the word of God. Meditating, we're getting that word again, meditating. That just means thinking about it. It's the guiding light. They're meditating on it day and night. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. How does that happen? They delight in the law of the Lord. They delight in the word of God. They read their Bibles. They read their Bibles. You see, God's not just trying to steal a few minutes of your day away from you so that it's harder to get things done. He's trying to fill us up so that he can make our lives work better. He wants to bless our lives. He wants to bless us spiritually. He wants to bless us in our families, on our jobs, in every possible way he wants to bless us. But we got to start by saying, what is God saying? What is God doing? How is it that God is working here? Now, I can talk about the Bible all day long. I can talk about it all day. But if I never get it into me, if I never read the word, it's not going to accomplish what I want it to accomplish. I have to figure out, how am I going to get God's word in me? How am I going to get it working for me? How am I going to get God's word working for me? Anybody ever watch the Antique Roadshow? Yeah. And it's captivating. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not good quality. Everybody's talking in the background. You can barely hear what they're saying sometimes. But it's just fun. Why? Because there's a sense of expectation. Oh, the big reveal is coming. This guy walks in and he's got a piece of furniture. And he's like, I bought it at a yard sale for $2. You know, you're like, oh, this is going to be good. I can't wait. And then the experts start saying, well, it was built by such and such a craftsman. It was built out of this particular wood that has never been seen again on planet Earth. And actually, George Washington signed documents at this desk. Now, what? This guy that owns the desk is not thinking, wow, it's going to look good in the living room. What's he thinking? What does he want to know? How much is it worth? When can we sell it? You can almost see him drooling. He's like, what? I'm not looking for a piece of furniture. I'm looking for a payoff. And so the guy leans in and he says, how much is it worth? And the expert's always a little coy and he has to work around it to keep you drooling until he finally says, well, we think it would sell at auction for $1 million. And the guy jumps up. He's like, I'm going to tell them where they can put my job next week. They can have it. And he's so excited because here's what is it? He wants it working for him. He's not interested in it sitting on a shelf over there or sitting in the corner over there looking good. He wants to know, how's it going to work for me? God's word is the same way. If I put it on the shelf, it looks good when people come in. There's my Bible. Had that Bible for 42 years. It's my Bible. Who cares what it looks like on a shelf? Is it working for you? Is it doing something in your life? Is it changing you? Is it making you the man of God or the woman of God that He created you to be? The only way to have it work in my life is to open it and read it. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to give you 5 suggestions on how to read the Bible. They're simple. All right, you're going to go, well, I could have come up with that list. Then you should have done it. All right. All right. Here's the first one. Read with expectation. Read the Bible expecting something to happen. When we say God wants to prosper us, He wants to bless us, believe it. Believe it when God says, makes promises to us. Trust Him. Read it with expectation. Don't read it like another book that you're just going to sell at half price books next week. Read it for what it is, the eternal Word of God. Read with some expectation. Now, here's the second one. Pray when you read. Pray about it. Start by saying, God, I'm kind of dumb. And sometimes I don't get everything that I want to get. I just want you to show me what I need to get today. Turn the light on. Put the glasses on me. Help me recognize and understand what you're saying to me today. All right? Here's the third one. Find the right translation of the Bible. Now, I grew up reading the King James Version. I heard somebody go, woo. Yeah. Amen. I don't read the King James Version now. I don't. Sometimes I read it just because it reminds me of my childhood, all right? When the preachers would preach and they would recite those verses and man, thee, thou, thus, therefore, heretofore. Man, it was so good. I was like, wow, that's powerful. I don't know what in the world he means, but that's powerful. I mean, it just sounds good to hear somebody speak in an English accent, right? Even though you know they're from Texas. Listen, that's not for me, all right? So that is on a much higher reading level than what we use most Sunday mornings right here. I got the New Living Translation. This is the one I read from most every day. All right, you might read from the New International Version. There's all kinds of versions. I encourage you to pick one and start reading it. But don't just read it and forget everything else. Read it, and if you find a scripture that really jumps out at you and you go, wow, what does this mean? Go to another version, compare it a little bit. But find a version of the Bible that you can read that speaks to you. The New Living Translation is written on, I think, about a 6th grade level. I think we're all good, right? 6th grade level. And so it's important to find a translation that you can read and you can enjoy. All right, here's the 4th one. Read at the same time every day. Now I don't know how many coffee drinkers are in the house, but I'm gonna make a prediction. You never forget to make a pot of coffee in the mornings. You may forget where you put your keys. You may lose the TV remote. You might not know where in the world your driver's license are or where that bill is that came in last week, but you never forget to make a pot of coffee. All right? Listen, if you do, if somebody, let's just be honest, if you are the coffee maker in your house and people are counting on you, they will be mad tomorrow morning if you don't do your job. All right, now what is it? You know when that happens every single day. You know. It happens at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whenever you get up. That's what's happening. Take some time. Put it on your daily calendar. This is went from 7 to 7:15 in the morning. This is when I read God's Word. Don't think you're going to, well, I'll catch it at the end of the day. You know, I'll catch it at the end of the day. You're going to go to sleep at the end of the day. All right? That's what I do. If I go, well, I'm so busy, I'll just wait till the end of the day and I'll read my Bible. Usually I lay down and I'm like, boom. And then I'm like, well, I'll read it tomorrow. So do it at the same time every day. Here's the 5th one. Find a reading plan that works for you. Find a reading plan that works for you. Now listen, you might be that person that can read super fast and you're like, yes, I read the Bible through every month. Well, God bless you. Because if somebody told me I had to read the Bible through this month, I'd have to go into hibernation. Y'all wouldn't know where I was. I'd just have to hide out. Because if I'm going to have to read it this month, we're going to have to spend a lot of time. Maybe you say, even reading the Bible through every year is really hard for me. It's three chapters a day, but I'm not a fast reader, so I find myself just going, well, I can't even read the Bible today because I don't have 45 minutes to read all of those chapters. Now, if you're a fast reader, go for it. If you're not a fast reader, it's okay. The Bible does not say you have to read the whole thing every year. That was a marketing idea by somebody 25 years ago that said, we're going to create the one-year Bible. And that's great. All right, do it if you want to. But don't feel the pressure. Figure out what works for you. Let me tell you what I'm doing right now. This was a suggestion from somebody else. I'm taking the book of 1 John, and I'm reading the whole thing every day. All right. And one way I like to do it is I like to just go to my Bible app and just turn it on and let it read to me. All right. And then I know I'm going to keep going, because here's what I do. I read a verse and I'm going, man, I don't remember. What does that mean? And so I go back and read it again. And then I'm reading it again. I'm like, well, let me go look that up. Let me think about this. And before long, I've read three verses today and I got to go. Listen, I like to just turn it on, let it read to me. Faith comes by hearing the word. Let it read to you. Maybe that's not your thing. That's okay. But I'm going through the book of 1 John every day. It takes me about 25 minutes. And yesterday I was mowing the yard. I was out there on the lawnmower doing my thing, and I'm listening to it. And ended up in 2 John and 3 John. And I listened to a whole bunch of Revelations too. It turned out to be just great. I've noticed that a few scriptures in 1 John just jump out at me over and over and over again. Every time I look at it, every time I listen to it, every time I read it, it just jumps out at me. And so all I got to do is go, let me go back and look at that scripture later. That one really jumped out at me. That one really spoke to me. That was something the Holy Spirit is trying to illuminate in my life. So let me focus on this one a little bit more. So find a Bible reading plan that works for you. If you want to read 10 verses a day or 10 chapters a day, it's okay. It's okay, but find a way to get God's word in you so you can give God some room to work. I can't expect God to do what he said he would do if I don't know what he said he would do. I can't expect him to do it if I'm not going to do my part. What is it that I can do this week to help me start reading God's word just a little better? So read with expectation. Pray when you read. Find the right translation. Read at the same time every day. Find a Bible reading plan. Find a Bible reading plan. And I believe God's going to show up. I believe God's going to show up. Now, if you don't have a Bible, if you see one in one of the pews or the chairs close by you, just grab it. Just steal it. It's all right. You paid for it anyway. All right? It's yours. All right? You don't even have to ask anybody. Just go ahead and put your name in it and go, it's mine. It's just mine. All right. That's what they're there for. Take them if you need them. I want to encourage you to do one more thing, and I'm going to close. We got baptism, and we got three guys being baptized in just a minute. I want to encourage you to do something. Listen, I love my phone. All right. I love my phone. Don't we all? Hallelujah. But I encourage you to pull out your Bible. It's a book. Looks like this. Find your Bible. Open it up. Physically touch it. Don't equate your Bible with Facebook, right? Sometimes I have noticed that if I am reading on my phone or with my iPad, it's very easy for me to just flip over to another app. Oh, I need to check this right now. Let me just flip over there and check this. I'm just going to take a minute and check my email. And 6 hours later, I'm like, was I reading my Bible? I think I need to go back. So if you open the book, physically touch it. I'm even going to take that one step further. I encourage you to bring your physical Bible to church with you. I'd love for you just to bring your physical Bible to church with you. And let it be in small groups. Bring your physical Bible. You say, well, I don't know where the books are, and I'll look silly. Well, we'll just all look silly together. It's okay. All right. If you don't know where the books of the Bible are, there's an index in the front. Table of contents will tell you exactly where it is. It's okay. You got to get to know it. You got to spend some time with somebody before you get to know them. All right? And so if you want to get to know God's word, you got to spend some time with God's word. And I believe God's going to use it. I believe God's going to bless it. All right. I just threw a whole bunch at you. I believe God has something special for us. I feel like the Holy Spirit has just really... I feel like the Holy Spirit has recently just urged me to go back to the basics. The basics. Prayer and worship and the word. Just the basics. Serving people. Just the basics of what this means every day to be a believer in Christ. Just to take care of the basic needs of my own soul first. And I just want to encourage you to do the same thing. I believe God's going to bless us. All right, I want you to stand with me. We're going to take a second here. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know him. I want you to know him. That's the most important thing. Start your relationship with God. Surrender your life, your heart to him. The Bible teaches us all we have to do is admit that we've sinned and believe on Jesus and confess him with our mouth. Just trust him. Put our faith in him. Start that journey with the Lord. Pray that prayer in your own way, but just admit that you've sinned and believe in Jesus and confess him as Lord of your life and start a relationship with God. I believe God's going to work. Lord, we thank you for all you've done already. We thank you for what's coming. We thank you for every good thing in our life. But Lord, if there's anybody in the room who just or watching online that just says, I don't have a relationship with God. I don't know him. I've been doing this on my own, and I really want to put my faith in God. I really want to have a relationship with God. I want to be saved. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you touch their heart and just help them, Lord, admit their sin and believe in you and confess you as Lord and start that journey and trust you and put you first in everything and allow you to start working and just give you room to grow. Give you room in their life so they can grow. And Lord, we thank you for what's coming. We thank you for drawing us in and blessing us. And we give you praise right now, Lord. And we receive your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. As God blesses us, we get to share that fruit with somebody else. And these guys are baptized this morning because somebody shared with them. The fruit of somebody's life blessed them. And as a matter of fact, Joseph was one of the catalysts that blessed the other two guys, Ronnie and Mike. And so as we share our faith, God will move in other people's lives. You're not just out there on your island, on an island trying to survive. You're out there being anointed by God. We have been called to do this thing and to accomplish all that God wants us to do. We're supposed to be a light at work and at home and wherever we go. God's called us to be a light, to shine and encourage others to come into the light. Amen. And I believe he's going to use us. I believe he's going to use us. And there's never been a time in history when he needed to use us more than he does right now. Our world needs us to shine the light of Jesus everywhere we go. All right, Father, thank you for your blessings on us. Thank you for your help. God, we just ask you to bless us this week and help us to be a blessing to others. We receive all that you have, and we want to share it. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody.